Let us pray to the Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and truly hallowed, revered, honored, and esteemed within our hearts as we come to worship thee, as we hallow this day in dedication to thy service, to open up thy word, to praise thee in song, and to draw near to thee and thy heart in prayer. We pray unto thee. May all the honor and glory, may all the attention and praise be unto Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is worthy to receive all this and much more. Lord, thou art doing a work in this world. And we pray that we would have hearts that would be surrendered to be a part of that work, that thy kingdom would come, and that thy will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that thy will would be done and we would have surrendered hearts and lives, Lord, to be a part of that prayer, that thy kingdom and thy will would be done on this earth. We are in great need of thy grace and of thy direction. Help us not to be ashamed to confess how much we need thee. For if thou dost not build the house, those that labor, labor in vain. So we call unto thee, Lord, for thy help and thy blessing, and ask that the simplicity of thy word would come into our hearts, would confront us with the choices that we have, would mold us and guide us into the truth that sets a man free. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Desire with the Lord's help to turn to the Gospel of Matthew this morning and read from chapter 11, beginning with verse 25, and then continuing on through chapter 12, verse 21.
25 through 21. Correct. Братья наши, да се чита с Божјој помоћ из Светог Евангелија по Матеју, 11 глава, почевши на 25 стиху, до 12. до 21. стиха. 11. од 25. до 21. из 12.
At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was anhungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then he saith to the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. And great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all. And charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Desire to conclude with. This morning we've read together the gracious call of Jesus Christ. Call to discipleship and a call to the blessing of rest and peace. And it's quite remarkable that this call comes, as Matthew says, at that time. There's a certain time when Jesus spoke these words, and there were things happening. People were responding. Some were accepting, and many were rejecting this gracious call of Jesus. And it's remarkable that after Jesus speaks about rest, and come unto me, and I will give you rest, that the very next account is one of controversy about the Sabbath day, the day of rest. And after these two controversies that take place, in the one in the field and one in the synagogue, Jesus withdraws himself, and great multitudes follow him. There's something that the gospel writer, as inspired by the Spirit, I believe is trying to communicate to us. There's a call that goes forth. There's some claims that Jesus makes that he is the only way and the only rest. And that claim is going to be contested. There are going to be alternatives that are going to compete for your heart and for my heart. And you and I will have to make a decision. Do I truly believe? That he is the only way? And will I follow those alternatives? Or will I follow Christ? And the beautiful thing, God offers to all mankind the freedom to choose. And we see that playing out in this account. And as the events unfold, you see the Pharisees, and they are rejecting Jesus' invitation to rest in him. And they're growing colder and colder. But then you see these multitudes of people that hear the call of Jesus, that hear him calling directly to them when he says, "You that are laboring and heavy laden." And they see the conflict, and they see the alternative, and they decide, when Jesus separates himself from this world and everything that it can offer, he's going into the wilderness. The multitudes follow him. And it's a beautiful picture of a journey. It's a beautiful picture of the gospel. The invitation goes out. But it's not just a good feeling to make you feel nice and like, just to give our emotions a calmness. But there's going to be a struggle. There's going to be a conflict because you cannot have both the world and Christ. And so that's described here. And then we see people respond. And that describes, I think, something that God wants us to understand. This is not just an account of what happened long ago, but this needs to take place in each and every one of our lives. Where we hear, where we make the judgment between, am I going to stick with the old life, the old way, or am I going to embrace exclusively Jesus Christ and his teachings? And it's just remarkable also that this short account ends with prophecies of the Gentiles coming in. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And in a beautiful way, the Gospel of Matthew ends with the Great Commission, where the disciples are sent out into all the world to preach the gospel to all of the nations. And so the beautiful theme of the entire gospel is captured in this little memorable story. And I believe that God reinforces the themes that sometimes we lose in the big picture through these stories that capture this process, that capture this message of the gospel. And we can see a lot of connections between the whole of God's plan and message to us in just a few verses. It's my hope and prayer that we would simply hear the invitation, understand it, and then consider it in contrast to the alternatives that are on your plate. And that you would make the choice. Which of the two paths are you going to take? Will you reject and become cold? Or will you separate and cling to Christ and receive the blessing, he healed them all. Come unto me, Jesus says. Jesus is calling, in a very literal way, disciples to come and hear his word, to be close to him, to follow him, to abide with him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For the Jews that were hearing this message, their understanding of being part of God's people and drawing close to God was filled with many teachings from the scribes and the Pharisees and laws that were added on to what the scripture contains. And Jesus even uses the expression, you bind heavy burdens on men that are grievous to be borne. They're oppressive. And they're full of ceremony. And they fill your life and their time. And they're futile. And the people were oppressed by these things. And the Pharisees themselves would not lift one of them with their own fingers. But they burdened the people. And so it was in God's wisdom and in it seemed good to the Father to reveal the gospel and the simplicity in Christ to those who were simple, not to the wise and to the elite. And by doing that, he opened up the opportunity to draw close to God. He opened up the doors to communion and fellowship with our Father through Jesus Christ and faith in him. And Jesus offers rest from those ceremonies and from those laws, and offers his disciples a way of faith. He also offers rest to those that are burdened with sin. The guilt of sin, the shame that it brings, and the inability to escape upon our own. Jesus says, come unto me. Maybe not everybody relates to the Jewish laws that they were oppressed under, but everyone relates to the shame and the guilt that sin has brought into man's life. And Jesus offers an invitation. Come unto me. Come and hear what I have to say, and see if you will not also find the truth that sets you free. There is a beautiful relationship that Jesus speaks of between him and his Father, a relationship of love. Jesus acknowledges that all things are delivered to him of my Father. There's this relationship of complete dependence and reliance of Jesus Christ towards his Father. There's this outpouring of the Spirit and of blessing and favor that the Father pours as he's expressing his love to his Son. There's this willingness of Jesus Christ to surrender and quietly obey his Father and not make a scene and not draw attention to himself, that describes a relationship of wholeness, a relationship of peace and satisfaction where nothing else is needed. Jesus isn't going around looking for more. And it's through Jesus that we can have a relationship with the Lord. And he wants us to have the relationship that mimics his relationship with his Father. Thoroughly filled with the love. Thoroughly appreciating and acknowledging the blessing and kindness of our Lord. And thoroughly loving and surrendering him. To him. Just as the apostle writes that God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man, there is order and there's peace. When we settle and we embrace that order, there's rest, there's acceptance, and there's no more clamoring, no more grabbing, no more effort, and striving for something else. Certainly in Christ's life, you see a diligence that's wanting to simply portray the reality of the relationship that he has with his Father. But that's a joy. It's not a burden. It's not a burden. And so Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. You know, a yoke, piece of wood that's used for binding two animals together so they can get some work done. Jesus is calling you and me into a yoke with him. We're going to be with him, he says, if you come unto me. We're going to work together. You're going to participate in the task that we have at hand. You're not going to have to do this alone. There's a cooperation. There's a surrender. And learn of me. Look at how I'm doing this with my Father. Take note of how this is supposed to work. It will give you rest. We don't often think of a yoke, and the animals don't think of a yoke. When they see the halter, they run. But the Son of God wants to be near you and to me. He doesn't want us to think of him as somebody who offers some blessing and then sends us on our way with no connection, with no relationship. But he knows exactly what's good for us and says, I am meek and lowly in heart. We see that working itself out as he responds to the Pharisees. He responds to these religious teachers that maybe he grew up listening to in the synagogues. Maybe you were supposed to respect. He didn't try to compete with them. He didn't try to outdo them. He didn't need their position. It offered nothing to him. He was meek and lowly in heart. And that's where we will find rest for our souls. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus also said that anyone who wants to be his disciple must give up his life, take up his cross, and follow him. And so when Jesus says that his yoke is easy, it's not in the normal sense that we think of the word easy. But he's contrasting that to the oppression of the law. It's not oppressive and burdensome to cherish and love for a husband his wife, or someone their child, or their niece or their nephew. It's a joy. For those who are still outside of the covenant with Jesus Christ, this doesn't make any sense. It's hard. You have to give up a lot. There's a lot of cost. But that's because you don't have that relationship to allow to flourish. But those who are born again, who have come into a covenant of faith and trust in Jesus Christ and have found him as, yes, our Sabbath rest, our everyday Sabbath rest. His commandments are not grievous. And the burden is light. The burden frees us from shackles of sin, from slavery and inability to overcome. A soul that entrusts himself unto the Savior and comes unto him, learns of him, allows the truth and the what Jesus is actually saying to penetrate, make a difference, it becomes the greatest joy. The disciples would learn this when they were sent out into the world. They willingly gave up their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ and for his gospel. It's a pattern for us to follow. It's a pattern for us to demonstrate God's wisdom in how this relationship is supposed to work, so that the world knows that there is hope and there's a God who's concerned and cares about his children, about his creation. But not everybody accepts and not everybody embraces. And that's what you see in these next accounts. Jesus makes this claim that he is going to be the rest, but the Pharisees, they see the Sabbath is their rest. This is the time, and they are in charge of the Sabbath, aren't they? You know, and we can have control over the thing that provides us what we want. We become gods. And that's the idolatry that's taking place. Pharisees saw the disciples going through the corn and eating on the Sabbath day, and they accuse the disciples of doing something not lawful. It was not lawful according to their custom, but there's no prohibition to doing this in the Word of God. And so what Jesus brings out is an example that's very clear, where there's this bread that was only supposed to be given to the priests. And there was an occasion where David and his men were coming around. They came to the tabernacle. And the priest, who at that time was teaching the law and teaching the people how to obey, he saw their need, and he let them take the bread that wasn't supposed to be given. But he saw their need and expressed mercy. And these are the Pharisees that said, David, he's to be esteemed, he's to be revered. But he's clearly violating, but you yet revere him. And then this example of the priests in the temple profaning the Sabbath and are found blameless. Now, there was a lot of work that needed to be done in the temple. There were burdens that needed to be carried. There were sacrifices that needed to take place. There was upkeep of the temple. Circumcisions need to be done. All other things, other rites and so forth needed to be done. And if it happened on the Sabbath day, the priest wasn't doing something in their eyes that was against the law. So they gave space and room for priests that were serving in the temple. And then Jesus says that in this place is one greater than the temple. You're okay with that service in that temple, but Christ is here, who is greater than the temple. And these simple fishermen, tax collectors, these babes who are following Christ are his priests. And they're doing his service. And they're following along with him, even when it's hard. Have you ever considered what kind of meal a few husks or grains of corn or wheat are? Raw from the field, it's not a good meal. These men are busy, they're committed, and this is the only time that they have to eat. They're serving in a greater temple, and they're with the Lord. But Jesus says, if ye had known what this meaneth, can you imagine telling a scribe that had dedicated his life to learning and understanding the law and stood up as a teacher to say, well, if you knew what this scripture meant, and then quote a scripture, is very bold. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the guiltless. And then he says another startling claim. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So Jews perceived rest, and they saw the Sabbath as something very important to them. But we as Christians, we see rest, and we see it fulfilled in Jesus Christ and everything else underneath him. He departs from the synagogue, and we read the story of the man with the withered hand. And this time, they're not just asking a question or making accusation, but they're actually setting a trap for him. And they ask, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? And there were restrictions that they had made up for what you could do. You couldn't put a certain poultice or a cream on a certain person. You couldn't do some medical procedure unless it was life-threatening. You couldn't induce vomiting, for example, unless it was a deadly poison, if it just made you feel sick. You know, they went to this level of detail, but it's just the simplicity of Jesus' response. Can you imagine the man that has one sheep? A poor man. If any of you are a poor man and your sheep falls in the ditch, won't you lift it out? How much better is a man than a sheep? It's lawful. That's why. Wherefore? That's why it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath days. And then Jesus does something. He does something, but he doesn't do anything, right? He doesn't violate any of their laws. He doesn't put a cream on him. He doesn't do some amazing act. He doesn't even stretch out his hand to touch him. He speaks the word, and he's healed. He doesn't do any work that they can see. He just says, stretch forth thy hand. He stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. And you would think, wouldn't this end all the arguments and all the bickering back and forth? That he could just perform a miracle at will? He would. But not in hearts that reject him. The Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. They plotted against him. So this is the activity of their Sabbath day. And when Jesus finds out about this, he doesn't compete with them. He withdraws himself from thence. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them that they should not make him known. It's beautiful to see that people are responding to Jesus' call to come to him. But they had to go through this observation of this tension, of this controversy, of evaluating the alternatives that they had for rest. They could go along with the scribes and the Pharisees and practice their Sabbath rituals, or they could follow Christ. And we view that as, you know, it's not so highly esteemed, somebody who's a religious authority. There's people that graduate from seminaries every year. What is a religious authority today? It's not that important. But for them, you know, being a part of the synagogue had with it a connection with your family and a feeling of belonging and of acceptance and of stability and security because families helped each other and they were tightly knit groups. And if you rocked the boat and you left that, or if you were rejected out of that for Christ's sake, you were left out in the cold and you lost a lot of the things that man's heart is yearning for. And that's how it connects to today. Because don't men look for alternatives to give them acceptance and belonging and security? Aren't those the things that compete for our hearts with Jesus Christ and his call for our life? It may not be the synagogue that we're struggling with, but there are other temptations. And Jesus asks us, put all those things that can be sources of rest, sources of security and belonging and meaning, put them on one side of the scale and put Jesus on the other. Which one tips the scale in your heart? Which one will you choose and which one will you follow? It's a controversy. It's scandalous. But it's the message of the gospel. He's the only way of salvation and rest. He wants us to make the choice to follow him. He wants us to consider and live out the priorities that say all of the other sources of rest, all of the other sources of security, I've got to put them down in order to follow Christ, in order to learn of him, in order to have that peace and that rest that he's longing for us to experience and enjoy. May God bless his word.